You're listening to the World Watch Weekly podcast from Open Doors Canada. On today's episode, we talk about India. It's the number 10 country on the World Watch list. You'll hear from one of our church partners, but you'll also hear a heartbreaking story about the realities for persecuted believers. For more information about Open Doors, you can visit us at www.opendoorsca.org. Enjoy today's episode.
Welcome back to the World Watch Weekly podcast. I'm Andrew, and with me today, as always, is Jared. And we're going to jump right into talking about the number 10 country on the World Watch list. Now, that number 10 country is India. And it's a country that is being talked about more and more in terms of persecution. Now, there are millions of Christians in India, and yet persecution is growing at a substantial rate. On the 2014 World Watch list, India was 28th. But for the last 2 years, it's been in the top 10. So what has changed to cause this sharp increase up in the rankings?
Well, in 2014, India elected a new ruling party, the BJP, under the current Prime Minister Narendra Modi. So since that time, religious nationalism has skyrocketed. The BJP wants India to be a nation of one religion, which is Hinduism. So the government has turned a blind eye to radical Hindus who are attacking Christians with impunity. This means that radical Hinduism is by far the main persecutor in India. It's vocal, omnipresent, and very violent. 8 states in India now have anti-conversion laws, meaning people are not allowed to leave the Hindu faith. There's also been rumors that Hindu radicals plan to implement similar legislation at the federal level. So far, these attempts have not led to concrete results. Hindu radicals are attacking pastors, church leaders, and congregations by accusing them of, quote, forced conversion. These accusations generally lead to physical violence against a Christian and result in that Christian being taken to the police station under the charge of forced conversion and being detained there.
Yeah, I know. In parts of India, police officers are known for not being neutral and for often siding with Hindu hardliners. They regularly take part in raids on Christian meetings, issue threats to Christians, refuse to register cases reported by Christians, and give protection to radical Hindus involved in acts of persecution. When Christians want to register a complaint, the local police will refuse to do so in about 90% of the cases. The police also have a reputation for brutality and mistreating Christians who are in their custody.
Christians have the highest unemployment rate of any minority in India. Many of them come from the lower castes, or are called Dalits, and so they're already among the poorest in India. Now, the situation for Christians has been affected, of course, by COVID-19. We have a message here from Pastor Samuel, who's one of the church partners we work with in India, about what's been happening.
Very warm greetings, my dear brothers and sisters. I really praise God for each one of your lives, for all your prayers and support for the persecuted Christians in India. As you all know, because of this lockdown situation, millions of people have lost their jobs. And as the persecuted church at the grassroots level comprised of such daily laborers, they've lost their jobs. And apart from that, the persecution against them is rising day by day. I hear the news of such incidents where Christians are being denied for the food supply from government. Not only they are being brutally attacked, there are many murders and rape cases happen. My dear brothers and sisters, because you pray, we could able to reach out to those people in such a difficult time as this. I just heard one story of a lady. In fact, she is a widow. She lost her husband 5 years before. And after that, she came to Christ and she was working with a bus company. But because of this lockdown situation, she was not having any work and she has no food to serve her children. One morning, she was holding Bible and praying. Lord, I don't know where I should go to find food for my children, how I can provide the food. But Lord, you are my provider. You have to provide me food for my children. And I know that you will provide me. At the same time, one of our team was distributing the relief into the same area. And one person asked to my colleague, Brother, would you provide, there's one lady living nearby. Would you be providing a relief for her as well? And he said, "Why? Yes, why not?" So they went to her home. And when they knocked her door, she opened the door and holding a Bible in her hand. And when she saw the food packet, she was crying and crying and thanking God. "Lord, I thank you for being my provider." My dear brothers and sisters, because you pray, because you support, we could be able to reach out to thousands of such families. Really appreciate all your prayers and support. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. The Persecuted Church is continuously praying for each one of you. Take care. Thank you.
As you can see, the needs are great in India. And one of the things that breaks my heart about persecution in India is the effect it has on children. You can hear it in that clip. Because Christians are being overlooked when it comes to aid, parents are struggling to feed their children. But it's more than that. Christian children are increasingly discriminated against and physically harassed in their communities. Children of converts are especially targeted, but children of other Christians are also affected. I want to tell you a story from India that happened just last year, and I want to warn you that it's not an easy story to hear. Pastor Ram and his wife began to minister to street children in India. These children had dropped out of school or not behaving well at home, having lots of trouble. But they began to help them, educate them, and things began to change in their lives. And so the parents were amazed. They began to ask Pastor Ram what they were doing. And so they shared with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And slowly they started having a small fellowship of new believers. Eventually, it grew to a church of 150 people. At that point, persecution began. First, they were kicked out of their home by their landlord when he found out what they were doing. Then they started to receive threatening phone calls from radical Hindus saying that, you know, if you don't stop what you're doing, if you don't stop helping these children, if you don't stop preaching the gospel, then you're going to have dire consequences. Pastor Ram would just say, "I know that God has called me here to minister to these children, and I'm going to continue to do it." And so one day his wife took their four-year-old to school and she came home to do stuff around the house, get lunch ready, all of that. But she received a phone call from the school and her daughter was not doing well. She was crying and vomiting. When she arrived at the school, she noticed her daughter's clothes had been changed, but her daughter wouldn't say what was wrong. So she took their daughter to the doctor and the doctor examined her. The doctor determined that she had been raped. 4 years old. Pastor Ram and his wife's life was shattered. Neither the police nor the school were any help to them. They didn't want to register complaints. Thankfully, one of the church partners we work with in India heard their story and was able to come alongside them and minister to them. They were able to provide a safe space for them where they could work through what had happened. After some time, one of our partners asked them, "What are you going to do now?" Pastor Ram said, "You know, I'm really thankful to God for everything God has done through your ministry to us, to our children. Despite what has happened to my daughter, I know that God is taking care of her. But me and my wife, we will continue to serve those little children because that's what God has called us to do." You know, that story is really hard for me to hear, really hard for me to tell it, because I keep thinking about my own daughters. And how I never want that to happen. And really, I don't want that to happen to my brothers and sisters in India or anywhere else across the globe. But I also find Pastor Ram and his wife's response incredible. You know, when I first heard that story, the next day I was thinking about it, I was praying, and I was thinking about that story, and I just fell to my knees and said, God, I don't think I could do it. You know, if that was my child, I don't think that I could continue to minister. I don't think I could go back and continue to do what caused that persecution. And so, you know, I look at Pastor Ram as a faithful example of what it means to be obedient, to obediently follow Jesus Christ. And I pray that I would be able to somehow honor his faithfulness by being faithful to Christ in my context and in my situation.
Stuff like that is just indicative of the incredible difficulties facing our persecuted family in India, and we need to constantly be upholding them in prayer. So for our listeners, here's some ways that you can pray for Christians in India. You can pray for believers who don't have access to the food, water, or medicine. You can pray that God will provide for them, sustain them through a difficult time, specifically during COVID-19.
Yeah, pray for God's provision and protection over Christians who boldly evangelize in the growing number of states with anti-conversion laws. And pray that they will be wise in their evangelism efforts, but that we would see the church grow.
And we'll pray for Christian children. Pray that God will protect them and that they'll grow in their faith and be fully devoted followers of Christ. While persecutors attack children to try and stop that faith from moving to the next generation, we want to pray that it'll be passed down generation to generation and continue to grow. So why don't we take a minute and pray for our family in India. Lord God, we thank you for all of the people who live in India in this incredibly populous country. Lord, we know that all of them are dear, loved images of you. Lord, we thank you for the love that you have for the country of India, and we pray that you would continue to grow your church there. We pray for Christians who are struggling with access to food and water and supplies during the pandemic. We ask that you will provide for them and strengthen them in this time. May they be lights for you in a dark place, and may they be reflections of your love and mercy in the world. Lord, we pray against the laws that would seek to prevent evangelizing and conversion. Lord, we pray that India would be open to Christians sharing their faith, and that through such legislation, your church would be able to grow throughout the nation of India. We pray for wisdom and discernment during these evangelism efforts, that Christians will be strong and brave and wise in what they're doing. Lord, we pray for the dear children there. We pray that they would be protected specifically. We pray that their faith would grow and that the faith like a child would never leave them. We pray for the generations of Christians who are growing in India, and may they just continue to pass down their faith and their courage. We thank you for the work that you are doing in India, and we pray that it would continue in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We hope that you would subscribe and review the podcast, share it with someone else so that more people can be praying for our persecuted family across the world. As always, if you have questions, feel free to email them to podcast@odcan.org. We'd love to hear your questions and answer them in a future mailbag episode. Thanks again for listening. Have a good week.
Thank you for listening to this episode of World Watch Weekly from Open Doors Canada. For more information on how to pray for our persecuted family, please visit our website, www.opendoorsca.org. Click Get Involved, and then click Prayer.